Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio studying James 3, 1 through 12 with Maddie and Linnell and Jessica and Grant and myself, Sandy, and Miss Tara. And we're talking about controlling the tongue. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we can do that. And we also talked about how we lose that control so easily when we're idle in our faith.
And the importance of guarding, making sure that we're active and pursuing God so that our faith does not get idle.
Right.
Maddie had shared wisdom from her grandma and that when faith goes to market, she always takes a basket. So thinking through how to grow our faith and the expectations that God can, he can even silence me. And so if he can do that to me, he can do that to anybody. Now, there are times I don't obey, God forgive me, but yeah. And so we kind of had ended, we were addressing the question that James was calling out teachers. And I want to follow up with this question, and that why was he being so strict? And we were looking at the idle faith, but I wanted to share with the group a little bit about a tradition that was happening then. And so this was where it came from. They would have the apostles teach, and then and as the apostles were teaching, they would finish, but then they had an open forum where anybody that included strangers, anybody was allowed to stand up to speak. And so Paul was trying to help them to realize just because you feel like you have something to say doesn't mean you need to say it. And you need to have that time of teaching. And it's funny. When I was in Israel, we actually, the church we were at, we went and visited the church of our tour guide, and it didn't occur to me till just now that that's actually what I think happened, and that we had the pastor who taught, and then we had a worship song, and then somebody else stood up, and he began to talk, and so it was almost as if we had two sermons in one morning. And I think what it was is like during the time of announcements, and he was the one that chose to say something. And I was sharing on break that there are churches here in Omaha. Maddie says her church does it, and you call it a time of remembrance?
Yeah, the remembrance meeting.
So. Okay. And so anybody can stand up and share?
Yes. I mean, yeah, any of the males who have yet been saved. So
yeah, that's cool. So most likely it comes from this tradition, and what he's warning, and he's trying to get them to understand that they need to be wise, and they need to be, according to the commentator, they should be with restraint and moderation. So just because they feel like they need to say something, they shouldn't, and not, you know, just 10 people wouldn't be like, make sure it's you're actually allowing the person that's the one that needs to stand up and speak. So it was pretty cool. Because I didn't realize that that's what it was. I thought he was talking about just gossip or whatever, and he is, but there was a bigger picture to why he was talking to the community about this. And so I thought that was neat for at least for me to look at and learn. So I wanted us to see in verse 2, he says, what would we read? We haven't read it. Let's read the passage. Linnell, did I have you read it? Let's read it.
Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
It's so good. I'm just, as you read those, because I've just been amongst fig trees, olive trees, and the Dead Sea, and then Lake Voulagmeni in Greece. Those, just hearing those, like I have these images so big in my mind, it's kind of fun. All right, so here he's talking about, we're going to focus in verse 2, he's explaining the behavior of teachers that have kind of gone inerrant, and he uses a Greek word for perfect, and I wanted us to understand that it's not what we are defining perfect as. It actually means to be mature, to be complete. It's the same word that he uses in James 4 on how to develop patience in trials. And so that's what he's referencing, that it's the being mature. And so when Maddie was sharing, it's like it's men that would obviously, they know the Lord, and that they're men that would be viewed as an elder, a leader in the church, that would be mature in their faith. They're the ones that would should be allowed to speak. And so that's what he's trying to get the people to understand. And so that's pretty cool. When we see this, the word perfection, what do you typically think of?
I think generally the picture brought to mind is some kind of like unattainable place, or like unattainable state where just, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever. No mistakes, no flaws, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Right. And that's not, he's saying mature, a mature person. So this can be a person who has messed up and, you know, but God's given a special message at this point in time for them to speak. And I highlighted this one and I wanted to read it. It says, but the body is used elsewhere in the New Testament is the body of Christ. And if this verse is still talking about teachers, then it might mean that those who master their speech are able to control or literally bridle the church. And I thought, that's pretty powerful. Oh. So Bible Knowledge Commentary like is emphasizing that if we have that capacity, then we're able then to guide a church. And so you think through any time you've maybe been under a leader that didn't have that capacity. So going back to the leader side of it, it can cause great destruction. So what we're going to do is I want us to look at some verses. I want, Maddie, if you'll look up 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 18. Linnell, Titus 1, 10 through 14. Just 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Grant, you're going to read Jude verse 10 and Jude verse 16. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to just be looking at how to go deeper with this and what the taming of the tongue should look like. So go ahead, and this is dealing with different aspects of false teachers.
Okay. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some.
Okay, before we move on, I just want us to look at this. Do you see how this verse deals with us taking care of our idleness? So if we are really growing our faith, taking our basket to market with us, what are some things based on 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 18 we should be doing? Like, go back and look at it. It says, we should be a person who listens. We should present ourselves to God as approved. The way you do that is you're a worker. You don't have things that you're ashamed of. You're correctly handling the Word of God. And so he's telling them, telling Timothy, how to avoid that idleness, okay? So be thinking on that, and that will help us to deal with what is godless chatter and to put a stop to it. I know I had a situation, I was talking with Greg, and he had a circumstance and just work situation, and he says that he constantly has to redirect in a particular situation because the chatter just goes off, you know, and you're talking a secular work, secular situation, and he has to work double time to help in the circumstances, because it's so easy for them to go off into godless chatter in the work environment. Okay, let's do the Titus 1, 10 through 14.
For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silent, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth."
Okay, so here we have commands. We're to rebuke those that are causing disputes and causing dishonest gain and doing things that they should not. And so I think sometimes it's really easy to say, if I am the person who notices something, well, I can't say anything because I don't. You know, we are called to call it out, and so, but we just need to make sure that it's of God and not of ourselves.
And it also says to do it in a loving, gentle manner, Jesus did. So, yeah.
And this is dealing with issues of people rejecting the truth, you know, and you think of how he says that they will know him by our love. Mm. I mean, but at the same time, we need to see it does call us to rebuke. Okay, let's do the 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed.
Okay, I'm going to share an example. I'm going to share about something that happened to me and Greg in Greece. It's very easy for us to make something where it's so important it's bigger than what it should be. Mm-hmm. And in Greece, everywhere we were touring, we were going to what would be a temple. And when I say a temple, I'm not talking about a temple of the Lord. And I could definitely, the whole time we were touring, I kept thinking of Paul's words, "I can see that you are a religious people, but let me tell you about the one true God." Mm-hmm. And we were touring on the Acropolis, and I had taken along a sloth and a camel because of Tori and Catherine would have been on the radio before, a personal joke that they have with each other, and so we were taking photos of them in Israel and Greece. And so Greg and I had the sloth and the camel, and we sat them out on a stone, and we were getting ready to take a picture of them with the Acropolis, and I photographed it, and then all of a sudden I hear this person yelling, "Stop, stop, you can't do that, you can't do that." So we turned to look to see who was doing what they shouldn't be doing, and assuming, of course, it's not us, we're just taking a photo. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me, wait, that woman's running towards us. And I mean, she's yelling on the top of her lungs, and I just look at her and I'm like, "Me?" And she's like, "Stop, stop." And she was pointing to me, "You can't do that." And I'm like, "What? Why? We're just taking a photo." And she's like, "You cannot desecrate the temple. You are disrespecting the temple by bringing an idol to photograph it on this temple." Now, this was it's to a false god.
Yeah.
And so here is an example of how they've gotten to such a point that they hold them so sacred that our taking a photo of a stuffed animal was viewed as irreligious. And it just broke my heart. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." It embarrassed me and shamed me as well. I was like, "We need to get out of here, Greg." But it just devastated me, because to their own destruction, they have set the temples to be so important that they've made them to where they are gods now. Mm-hmm. I just think of this, the depraved conduct and how it's causing people to be led astray, and denying the sovereignty of God. And we have to make sure that we are guarding the holiness of God and the holiness of God's things, and holding holy things as sacred, and not treating other things as if they are. And so that's kind of like my personal experience on that one right now. Okay, let's do the Jude ones, verse 10 and 16.
But these people blaspheme anything they don't understand, what they know by instinct like unreasoning animals. They destroy themselves with these things. And Jude 16. These people are discontented grumblers, walking according to their desires. Their mouths utter arrogant words, flattering people for their own advantage.
Hmm. That's kind of,
The flattery part, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. It's, you know, I'll just share my own sin in this. Okay, I had a situation where my friend and I were talking, and I think I probably was in my young 20s, and we were both young moms. Actually, I would have been in my, we were young moms. I would have been in my young 30s because it was, I was older. And, oh God, help me, this is, I was 30. And so we were talking, and the kids were playing, and they were all little, and they're running around and just being crazy. And she was talking about basketball, and I was sharing, yeah, I played basketball. I played in a small country town. Anybody could have played basketball. It didn't mean I was any good. And but we were both talking about our basketball experience. And when I left, I was really convicted that I was boasting. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what I had said, but I think I made myself sound better than what I was. I should have been honest and said I went to a town of 800. So anybody could have played. And whereas I think she was like a college champ kind of person. And I called her up, and I'm like, hey, Karen, I need to apologize. She's like, what? And I go, well, God convicted me. I was boasting. She's like, that's funny. God convicted me, too. I think it's really easy in the moment, without us even thinking, where we can boast mm-hmm. on something. And it just, there's no motive or reason other than I just think I want to look good before this person. Mm-hmm. And so we made an agreement with each other that we would hold each other accountable before God. And so it's really easy, I think, for us to become the person who grumbles and complains, because that makes us feel better about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And to slander, and we got to be careful not to do that.
Yeah, my friend and I have a little thing that if we're starting to do that, which we do, we'll go tweet. So we're like, okay.
All right.
Thanks for the...
Hold each other accountable. Yep. That's wonderful. Okay, so we've looked at some great verses to help us to go deeper to thinking on dealing with false teachers. And it's crazy. We're just not going very far. And we're learning that God does not want us to be perfect, as in our definition of perfection, but he wants us to be mature. So the desire to be in his word, the desire to honor him, the desire to bring about his truth is what he's looking for. And so we're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back next week, and we'll look a bit about the horse and the bit. God bless.